Hey everyone, you're tuning into this week's message, where we listen to wisdom and insight on the Christian faith. As a listener, you will gain context of scripture, learn Jesus' teaching, and gain practical ways to apply them to your life, your family, your friends, and anyone around you. Whether you're just curious about the Christian faith and seeking knowledge, or you're growing in your faith, we invite you to listen to the foundational principles to a healthy, thriving walk with the Lord. We can't wait to dive in with you.
I just want to tell you guys, I am so excited to be here because Jade and Turner are like family to me. It was years ago. I mean, we have done worship together for I don't even know how many years. And then Jade started helping out with the woman team. But since all of that, I don't even know how many years it's been, she's become a dear friend of mine. I will never forget when she called me one day and she said, "The Lord has put your family on my heart and I'm going to be praying for you guys. So if you're ever walking through anything, just let me know. I'm going to be lifting you up." And little did I know that a couple years after that, my family would walk through the hardest season we've ever walked through. I call it the five-year storm. It felt like every time we turned around, something else that was totally unexpected, tragic, and like grabbed our attention was happening. And all of a sudden, I realized why God had called my friend Jade to be praying for us. And so I just want you guys to know, she is more than just a friend in Christ. She is a sister to me. And when you go through the fire, you don't need just any kind of friend. You need the one that is going to get you before the throne of God. You need the person that'll grab your hand and say, "I'm going to go into the fire with you, and we are going to come out on the other side together." So I want to encourage you, if you don't have relationships like that yet in the body of Christ, ask the Lord to show you who they are, because they're around. And we need each other in the hard times. And Turner, I have to say, is one of the most kind-hearted, servant-hearted pastors I have ever been around. And he also is a superhero in his night job. We went on vacation with Jade and Turner a few years ago, and my son was like 3 years old. And I really think he saved his life on that trip like three times. He would leave the condo. We wouldn't know where he was. He had almost made it to the pool, and Turner's sitting there, and he goes, "Where's Zavi?" And like out the door went and saved his life. I'm not lying. So he became Uncle T after that trip, okay? So we're true family, but I want you guys to know the pastors that you have are the real deal. They love you guys through and through. And all they want to see is that you are serving Jesus, that you are on fire for him, and that you are seeing his victory through your life and through other people's lives on a daily basis. They are going to the throne for you. They are lifting you up. So can we give it up for your pastors? I did bring a couple of pictures. Did we get those in? We didn't? Okay. Y'all, can we give it up for Riley in the back? I'm telling you, I threw some notes at him today, and he patiently walked through all of it and got all of it put in, and I was like, man, you are my hero. But I do have my husband with me. He's in the back. Brandon, you want to wave? You guys might know Brandon. He's led worship and played keys for years and years, and our kids, I think, are hanging out in children's church. And what I was going to show you is a cute pic of my family and tell you what a miracle that moment was. Because in case you wonder why women get so excited about their family pics and send them all across the world, it is because, oh, you have it. Okay, this moment, y'all, this is a miracle. And women show these pictures to let everyone know that God still works miracles. I'm telling you, when we scheduled this, we had so much that had gone on in our lives the last few years. I forgot to get family pics last year. A friend just said they would do it for me this year. We picked up my daughter from school. We had her change in the car on the way there. Y'all know that's fun. Then we got there. She got out of the car, looked at her reflection in the side of the car, decided she hated the dress and was not going to be photographed in the dress. I had a feeling it might be coming, so I packed a second dress. So we did a whole nother wardrobe change in the parking lot. My son, who's 5 years old, was literally running into traffic because he was so bored with all of it. And when we finally all got together and sweat was coming down, I was like, there's not going to be anything salvageable from this. And then this happened. Okay? Because that which is impossible with man is possible with God, right? He's still working miracles. And I think we may have another picture. Do we have it? My kids are in a... Yes, okay. My kids... My daughter Israel, she's 9 years old. She is the lover in our family. She loves people. She loves animals. She's sensitive to their heart. She has a beautiful singing voice. I just feel like hearts and unicorns could follow her around and she would just feel normal. My son, he is full of joy and energy, loves to build things, loves to threaten his own life quite a few times. But he built these for me a few months ago, and he brought them to me, and as any mom does, I just started saying, Zavi, this is so awesome. What are their names? And he said, Mommy and Daddy. And I said, are these your mommy and daddy? He said, yes. I said, which one's daddy? He said, the one with the glasses. And I said, so mommy's the one with the mustache? And as serious as could be, he goes, yeah, some girls have mustaches. So I want you to know we are in a brutally honest phase, but he also looks at me every day and tells me that I'm the best. So I will take it. Yeah, it's life with kids, right? They're going to let you know whether you want to know or whether you don't want to know. Okay, to be honest with you guys tonight, I prepared an entirely different message than what I'm going to give you. I finished my notes last night. I was like, this is a good word. It's good content. I was ready to send it off. Something didn't settle with me, but I was like, it's done. You know what it's like. Have you ever labored over a project and you're like, it's finished, it's done? This morning, I got up early to spend time with the Lord before we went to do worship. And when I was sitting before him, I just kept hearing the verse that Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. And he only said what he heard his Father saying. And so I got before the Lord and I said, Jesus, what are you saying to YA? Is this word what you are saying? And as clear as day, he said this phrase, let my people go that they may come and worship me. And in a split second, I thought, God, that's not my message. But I knew that I knew that is what God was saying. And so even though my word was good, good isn't good enough, right? Because the Lord doesn't ask for our good offering. He asks for our obedience. Even when it makes us uncomfortable, when we realize being obedient, it may not be perfect. It may have problems. The Lord does not care. He is asking for our obedience. And so I had a decision to make. Was I going to bring the word that I knew was good and was finished, or was I going to follow into what the Lord was saying? And to be honest, if the Lord is saying, let my people go that they may come and worship me, I want to join him in what he's doing. Because when we choose obedience over what feels comfortable to us, that is where the power of God shows up. And if I'm being honest, you guys don't need me. We all need him. You don't need to hear a word that sounds wise and eloquent from me. You need the power of God in your life, and I need it too. And Paul said, when I came to you, I came in fear and trembling. And my message was not with persuasive words of men's wisdom. It was with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit so that your faith would not rest on my wisdom, but on the power of God. So I just want you to know the word that I am bringing tonight. I told Turner I have never written something so fast in my life. I may read, it may not be perfect, but my prayer is not that you hear from me tonight, but that you hear from the Holy Spirit. Because if God is here and he is ready to set us free, I don't want to stand in the way of it. In fact, I want to jump in. Because as much freedom as I've experienced in my life, there is more. Right? Okay, so the verse it came from, Exodus 7:16. You know, this is when God, he recruited his boy Moses, right? And if y'all know Moses, Do you remember when he was 40 years old and he went out and he saw how bad the slavery was of his own people in Egypt? And he got mad at how one of his people was being treated and he rose up and he killed that Egyptian. The Bible says that he thought in that moment that the Hebrews would realize God had sent him to deliver them. But that did not happen. And why did Moses think that? I think he had a sense of the call of God on his life when he was 40. And he thought, this is how it's going to happen. But that was not God's way that he wanted to deliver his people, was it? Moses ran for his life from Pharaoh at that moment. God took him to the backside of a desert for 40 years. He lived in obscurity. No one knew him. He didn't lead a group of people. He did not lead an army. What did he lead? A group of sheep on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years. And then God came to him. And notice what God said. Exodus 3, verse 1 through 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Y'all get distracted by things like that? That would have grabbed my attention in a second, okay? I would have been like, huh, what's happening over there? That's what happened. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? I believe the bush was a picture of the heart of God burning for his people. You know, Jesus says in the New Testament, I am the vine and you are the branches. That is a picture of a bush. This is because God's heart was burning for his people and he was ready to impart that fire to Moses. Just like when God's heart is burning for the people in our lives and he wants to impart that fire to us. So Moses pulled to the side and the Lord says this, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. When God gave me the word for tonight, he began to show me that there are blocks to greater levels of true worship coming from our lives simply because of a lack of freedom. Just like the slaves in Egypt, they were under chains that were heavy. They kept them from moving forward. They were stuck and they could not free themselves. They could not have true worship because they were miserable, discouraged, hardened, numb, apathetic, traumatized from day in and day out. Heaviness, abuse, insults, fear, wounds, chains. And what did the Lord say? I have seen their misery. I have heard their cries. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to set them free. What happened when God came to Egypt? Did they get a rainbow like Noah did at the end of the ark? It was a different moment, wasn't it? God was in a little bit of a different mood, right? What happened when God came to Egypt? The plagues, right? It was not pretty. Moses kept going with that one simple message. By the way, if the Lord has anointed you and put a message on you, do not discredit how simple it may be. Moses had one message. Let my people go, so says the Lord, that they may come and worship me. He said it 10 times, that simple message, right? Because it wasn't about Moses' eloquence. It was about God fulfilling what he said, right? So when God showed up in Egypt, it was not pretty because Pharaoh didn't listen and the plagues started coming. Why? Because the most dangerous place to be is between God and his people. It's kind of like getting between a mama bear and her cubs. Does anybody want to be in that position? No, it is not going to go well. Why? Because his heart burns for us. He sees us, he hears us, he is concerned, and he comes to us. Just like God sent the 10 plagues to dethrone the 10 false gods in Egypt, God began to speak to me about 10 types of chains that we are walking around with that he wants to break off of our life so that a new song of freedom can come up from our lives. Why does God care so much? Have you ever wondered, can he hear me? Does he see what's happening? Can he hear what I'm saying to him? Is he concerned about my suffering? Does he plan on doing anything about it? You can imagine those were the thoughts in the Hebrews generation after generation when they're waiting. Is the Lord going to come? But he was faithful. Why does he care so much? Because he wants you and I free from the enemy, full of joy, and walking confident as a son or daughter of God, filled with the fire in our bones that we are going to bring others into the kingdom with us. That's why he wants us free, so we can go grab others and they can become free. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Notice the shift that happened in 40 years. 40 years ago, he thought everyone would know when he killed that Egyptian, that was the calling on his life. 40 years later, he spent a lot of time by himself. He wasn't leading people, he was leading sheep. And all of a sudden, he questioned everything about himself. All pride was broken off of his life. He'd never been more humble than that moment. And when God came and said, now it's time, he said, who am I? That's an identity question. Who am I? The generation we are in and all the generations under us are asking this question. And unfortunately, the enemy is giving them the loudest answer. But I want you to hear what God says. And God said, I will be with you. Don't you love God? He doesn't answer the questions we ask all the time, does he? Sometimes he's like, you know, you're not asking the best question, so let's redirect for a second. He doesn't tell Moses who he is because Moses wants to know who he is on his own. How does he have the standing now to go to Pharaoh? But God's like, I'm not telling you who you are. I'm telling you whose you are. You are mine, which means when you go, I go. Because the Lord is not interested in you and I trying to discover what our identity is apart from him. We were not meant to be apart from him. That is what sin did in our lives. God is saying, you come to me. You become part of me. The old you dies. The new you is raised to life. And it is no longer who are you. It is who are we. Right? And I'm telling you, we have a generation that needs to hear this. Because God's not interested in who we are apart from him. Man, who I am apart from Christ, I can't do a whole lot. I'd rather know who I am with him. Wouldn't you? Amen. I felt that one. Okay. What do I mean by chains? Hebrews 12 says it this way. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that presses down on us and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Isn't it amazing? That's what caused him to endure, was joy. Despising its shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The 10 things that God put in my heart for you guys that he wants to break off of our lives. Number one, fear. Number two, rejection. Number three, religion. We're going to have them up at the end. Y'all don't have to take these notes if you don't want. Number three, religion. Number four, unforgiveness. Number five, pride and false identity. Number six, loneliness. Number seven, rebellion or sin. Number eight, shame. Number nine, death. And number 10, sickness. So what I want to do, I can't talk about all 10, right? But I'm going to talk about three. Three chains that God has broken off my life. Okay, I don't know what church background y'all grew up in. If this is your only church, you may not relate with the story I'm about to share. I grew up in a very conservative church background. The Lord loves all types of worship. So what I'm going to share, I'm not in any way making a value judgment on other people's types of worship. But I'm going to tell you the worship culture I grew up in. I grew up in a church where we sat for the whole worship, what we would call a worship set. We didn't even call it that then, okay? We sat through the whole worship set. Except for the verse right before the offering. And I don't know why that was a special verse. We all knew. If you didn't know, you figured it out. You stood up for that verse, the third verse of the hymn that we were singing. And then we prayed over the offering. And then guess what we did right after that? Sat back down. Yes. And I came from a very musical family, worship leaders in my family. My mom wrote her own songs, singing to the Lord my whole life growing up. That was a natural environment for us to be around. And she would sing our songs in church. But in our church, the only way you would express outwardly, your appreciation of the worship was to say amen. Sometimes you could see a little tear in somebody's, the corner of somebody's eye, right? No hands were in the air. We didn't clap. In fact, we were taught that clapping was the world's way of showing appreciation. And so we didn't want to be like the world, so we didn't clap. And just being real with you guys, like, there was only one lady I remember in my entire life growing up that put her hand up in church. And we were so critical of it, we made fun of her in the youth group. So just so y'all know, that was the worship culture I came from. And let's just say I had some room to grow in that area, okay? So I get into college, and I get involved in a student ministry. And to be honest, I just felt bored. I was like, I can't sit in another circle and play a little game. Like, I've got to find people that are passionate about Jesus. And so a girl had invited me in my choir to go to this other student ministry. And I said, are y'all the weird ones? And she said, what do you mean? I said, do you put your hands in the air when you worship? She thought I was going to ask something else. She said, yes. I said, I'm not coming. So just so y'all know, okay? So 3 months go by. I'm still bored. And I felt like the Lord was like, try the weird, you know, ministry, Rebecca. So I get my two of my friends who came from a background like mine, because I was not going in alone. And I go in. It was everything I thought it would be. Hands were in the air. People were swaying, dancing. One guy stood in the back with his arms out, windmilling the whole time. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, where am I at right now? Okay. But then the pastor, in fact, my husband, who I did not have a clue would be my husband, he was on the keys playing worship. And he jumped off of the side of the stage. And like 3 minutes later, he got back on the other side of the stage and got back on the keys. And I was so conservative, I was like, I guess he had to use the bathroom. No, he did a victory march, a lap around the entire room. I was so clueless, okay? But when the pastor shared the message, I knew his passion for Jesus was what I felt on the inside. And so I was like, I do not feel comfortable with their worship, but our passion for Jesus is the same, so I'm staying. Fast forward 2 years, 2 years in the ministry. And there was a moment I remember God speaking to me, and he said, in the middle of a worship set, it was one of those moments in the Baptist church growing up, when that moment hit, we just key changed, okay? But this was one of those moments. It wasn't a key change moment, but you just felt like the heavens were open and God was about to descend. It was one of those moments. It could have been shout to the Lord. That tells you how long ago it was. I have no idea. But I remember when that moment hit, the Lord said to me, Rebecca, if I asked you for anything, would you tell me no? And I said, no, ask me for anything. He said, then lift your hands in the air in worship to me. Straight up. And I had a decision to make. If I'm being honest, my heart started pounding out of my chest. And I was literally like, what is about to happen? I have no idea. And I wish I could tell y'all, we made it to there. Y'all, I thought everyone was going to stop. A spotlight was going to come down on me. And everyone was going to clap and be like, welcome, we've been waiting. No one even knew, because no one was watching me. They were all focused on the Lord. What I'm trying to tell you is God had to break the fear of man off of me and religion off of me before he could do mighty things through my life. What he began to show me is I have asked you to worship me with all that you have. If you're going to go to a ball game and put your hands in the air, then what are you doing with your hands in your pocket when you're in my presence? Do you really think that team can do more than I can do? And when the Lord broke that chain off of my life, I felt like God began to say, okay, get ready. I'm going to start showing you that I don't fit in any box you have ever had in your mind. So my question is your chain religion? Does God need to break this off of you? That verse is Isaiah 29:13. And the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules. You can be under a man-made rule with your hands in the air just as much as you can with your hands in the pocket. The Lord wants our hearts. Whatever it looks like for us to be full out in here, that's what he's looking for. Okay, Second one, pride. God breaking pride off of my life. What's the opposite of pride? Humility. What does it look like to humble yourself? I don't know what it looks like for you, but man, the Lord called me out about this a few years ago. My daughter was about 4 or 5 years old. We were out in our backyard on the swing set, and she's normally pretty sweet, but she just looked at me with this face, and she said, "You cannot tell me what to do." Straight up. So what did I say? I was like, "Get a hold of yourself, Rebecca." I said, "You are in timeout. You talk like you are the boss, like you are in charge. You are not the boss. You are not in charge." So like any kid, she said, "How long?" And I said, I needed a second. I said, "Until you learn that you are the child and I am the mom. And when I ask you something, your response is, 'Yes, ma'am.'" Anybody ever been there? We've either been there as a parent or a child or both, right? Later on that day, I went to a friend's house, and I left my friend's house, and there were just things that were heavy on my heart. And to be honest, I was frustrated. And I just thought, man, I just need to talk to God about this. And all of a sudden, I just yell in my car, "God, I need you to," and I stop. As the audacity of my address to the Lord echoed in my ears. And all of a sudden, God was like, "You talk to me the way your daughter talks to you." And I realized, have I become this familiar and entitled with the Lord? Did I need the Lord to say to me, "You're going to go into a timeout until you can learn that you are the child and I am the parent. And when I ask, your response is, 'Yes, sir.'" That was in 2020. We all went into a timeout. All I knew is if, right? I think God was like, "Y'all, I've had enough." Okay. All I could think is if this was Pastor Rick or some other leader, great leader in our nation or government or whatever, I would never start a statement with, "Rick, I need you to." And here I'm talking to the creator of the universe. I did not know how far I had gone from the fear of the Lord and from the awe of his name. And I knew what I needed to do. I went home. I got on the floor. I got on my face in the carpet. I began to cry to the Lord and repent and reaffirm him as the Lord of my life. I got out of his seat. And I said, "Lord, I don't know how I have gotten this far, but I am ready for you to correct this in my life." Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself," y'all know this, "and take up his cross and follow me." Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is hard to get our brain around in the American culture. We are immersed in a culture that is shouting one anthem, and it is, "Put yourself first." Our culture is saying, "Define yourself, pick up your crown, and follow you. In fact, let Jesus follow you." I started realizing that I was so good at gathering those verses that spoke what I wanted to hear. God is for you and not against you. You can do all things through Christ. I would gather those verses up and just hope that Jesus was following behind me as I fulfilled every dream and every vision I had for my life. I had no idea that I was on the throne. I was in first place, and Jesus was saying, "No more. That is my chair. I am asking for you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and get behind me." I'm telling you this because we are so entrenched in a culture that says, "Put yourself first." We have got to stay vigilant, keeping our hearts before the Holy Spirit and saying, "Search me. Has this gotten in there? Am I expecting you to fulfill my dreams, or am I waiting on your next command?" So is your chain pride God wants to break off of your life? And the third one, unforgiveness. When I was in seventh grade was the first time I heard the voice of the Lord. And he said, "Rebecca, forgive your dad or your future is going to be difficult." Something to that effect. And I want you to know, my dad is a believer. He taught me the word of God. He had us in church every Sunday. So I want you to know he is an amazing man. And God has transformed him over the years. So I want you to give you the good part first. but he really struggled with anger when we were young. And I was holding so much against him. And the Lord saw that as I held that unforgiveness, it was going to be my own destruction if I didn't forgive. So I forgive the best way that I knew how in my seventh grade mind. And when I got into college, the ministry that I got involved in, they taught a pattern of forgiveness, of intentional forgiveness, where you just get before the Lord and you ask the Holy Spirit, bring up anything that I need to forgive. Any memory that is on repeat in my brain, any words that have been spoken over me, anything that feels hard or difficult. And I remember getting before the Lord. I just kept putting it off. I don't know how y'all are. I'm just like, listen, I go there. And but I have one of those yellow pads of paper. Y'all remember those things? They got like 10 extra lines. Y'all remember? I mean, y'all, I feel that. I feel like four pages up or whatever when the Holy Spirit started talking to me. And I had this moment with the Lord where I was just on the floor crying and speaking out intentional forgiveness. And I would say, so-and-so, I forgive you for this. It made me feel like this. And I release you from that debt. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I would bless them. You really want to bless them in the last place you want them to be blessed. And then you know it takes the Holy Spirit to do it, okay? So I'm going through my list in the carpet. And I get to one thing. And I just lean back and I said, God, it is not in me to forgive this. It just felt so wrong. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, it's not in you, but it is in me, and I am in you. And all of a sudden, I could see Jesus hanging on the cross and him looking at men that were so excited at the pain and torture they had caused him, they were gambling at his feet for a trophy of that day. And he looked at them and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And all of a sudden, I realized forgiveness doesn't come from me. It comes from the power of the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of me. I don't do it by my emotions. I do it by my decision. I decide to obey the Lord, and his Spirit comes and does what I cannot do. I didn't know that years later, we would walk through what I call a five-year storm in our lives, and I'll skip through all the details. We had a lot of health attacks on my son, my dad. My twin sister went through breast cancer twice. She entered into heaven in November of 2022. And me and my husband entered the hardest season of our marriage we've ever entered. And I remember, by the way, I have his blessing to share with you. And I remember him sharing some things with me one night, and they were the hardest things I've ever heard in our marriage. And I heard the Lord standing beside me saying, I've prepared you for this. I've prepared you for this. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but I knew when I walked out of that room that the Lord was like, you're not going to wait one day to get this out before me in forgiveness. And I remember later there was a moment that I felt the Lord calling me into his presence, and I went and sat outside, and there was an empty chair beside me, and And this is not scripture. This is a picture God showed me, so you can take it or leave it, whatever you want. But I look in the empty chair, and all of a sudden, I see Jesus sitting there. And he is smiling the kindest smile to me. And he is holding out his hand. But he's not the beautiful Jesus we imagine, all in white. He was the wounded Jesus that I imagine looks how he looked on the cross. One eye so swollen it wasn't open, gashes all over his body, blood everywhere. And he held out his hand to me. And I realized in that moment that every wound you or I will ever experience in life or inflict on another person is found in his body. Somewhere on his body. The Lord was teaching me, instead of fixating on your own wounds, go ahead and fixate on mine. I was in awe of the level of wounding our Savior endured for you and I. And all of a sudden I thought, it's my joy to forgive. How much, Jesus, did you take on that body for me? How much is on there because of me? And we're going to close with this. I don't know if we have a keys person or how we doing this. And then a few weeks ago, I was able to go with some friends to a women's conference. And I just went, y'all, I didn't know what to expect. I had never been there. And I just said, God, whatever you want to do, whatever you want, I'm open. I went to the altar like 3 times, okay? Because the Lord just kept dropping him. I was like, again, God? They're going to be like, whoa. Seriously. I was like, man, I'm in triage or something. But people kept coming and they would lay their hands on me and they would pray. I didn't tell them anything about my life. And by the way, the Lord has brought a lot of healing to Brandon and I. Brought a lot of healing, a lot of restoration, and we are in a very good place compared to where things were. And so I just want to give all praise to God. Yes. But when I was at that conference, people would gather around and pray, and they just pray whatever the Holy Spirit put in their heart. And I was like, I don't have to share anything, and God saves so much time. He broke rejection off of me. He broke loneliness off of me. And when I say broke it, like, they would just hear that and pray it off of me. And when I got up from the little prayer circle, I felt like a different person. This heaviness left me. And we have a small group, and a friend of mine in our small group, this is what I'm going to close with. Her name's Taylor. And she's been coming all year, and she's new in her walk with the Lord, and it's been exciting to watch her grab a hold of these things and implement it in her own life and in her family. But we had a moment last week where we encouraged our small group to stop and hear the voice of the Lord. And she got really discouraged. There were women with tears in their eyes. God was speaking to them, and she stopped and said, I just don't ever hear anything. Like, every time I try to hear from the Lord, I just see myself in a dark room, and that's it. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. So we gathered around her, and we laid hands, and we just allowed the Holy Spirit to direct that prayer moment. And God began to break things off of her life. And there was a moment, and she goes, I can see Jesus. I can see his face. And she and I texted the next day, and she was like, I still see his face. Every time I close my eyes, I'm hearing worship songs differently. I'm ready to get baptized and rededicate my life to Christ. And now her husband's going to do it with her. Yes. And so I want to encourage you guys, stand to your feet. I don't know what you've been carrying. I know it can be different for all of us. All I know is that the heart of God shared with me that he's ready to set us free. So I just want to encourage you, we're going to make this place an altar before him. So what I mean by that is I just want you to feel free to move around. If you need to move to the side, if you want to come to the front and worship, if you want to just come down here and bow and give everything to the Lord, I think Turner said we have prayer people that'll be on the sides, leaders. My goal is just that God comes and does with each one of us what he wants to do. And I believe as we are open to him that he is going to move. So let me pray as we enter this moment. Heavenly Father, we are so honored to be in your presence. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the freedom we find, the forgiveness of our sin. We thank you for the power of your resurrection that broke the curse of sin and death off of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. There is no one like you. Father, thank you that you prepared us to be in this moment, whether we realized it or not, because you love us and you long to set us free. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. I just say, have your way, whatever you want to do in all of us. We receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Man, we are so glad that you tuned in with us. We hope that the Lord has dropped something valuable in your heart. We cannot wait to do this again. See you next week.